Oh, feeling the love. Yeah, I just wanted to start off by just giving a bit of feedback about us, you know, our personal space. Thank you so, so much for all the prayers and support with us and Mpo. Obviously, Rebecca's at home with Mpo at the moment. They're doing fantastically. He is ridiculously adorable. You guys love him. I cannot wait for you to meet him. Yeah, obviously, it's been a big adjustment for him, so it's just going through the motions of settling in and everything. But it's been really, really good, and we can see the progress already, and there's been good progress. So I just want to thank you all so much for the support and the prayers and the delicious meals that we've been receiving. You guys are amazing. Loving us in practical and in spiritual ways. It's been really beautiful to see our community showing the love that we preach about week after week. So I wanted to say thank you for being amazing. And then, yeah, also thank you to Warren for filling in last week. An amazing preach. If you haven't listened to it, give it a listen. It's up, loaded up on the podcast. Thank you for Warren, who's also handling that. The Warren of all, Jack of all ministries. we appreciate that. And yeah, it was a great introduction message to the new series that I want to start today. We want to just go through the book of Acts, and I feel like it's quite pertinent for our church at the moment, the Acts of the Apostles, because it's basically looking at the starting of the church and how that looked, obviously just after Jesus, or Jesus' resurrection. And so, yeah, it's just like to see the practical outworking of the church there and how that should and can shape us in our church today and also in our walk in our own personal faith. So we've got a couple of weeks of Acts coming your way, but I'm very excited for it. I've been looking at it, and it's just amazing stories, amazing insight into just living out your Christian life. Tristan is a pretty good example. It's like Jesus 2.0. For TC, I just wanted us to be really a church that has that authentic love for each other. Where it's just like that pure, raw love. Kind of like what Warren explained last week, where it's just loving as Jesus loved. And yeah, as we know, it's like we do have to count the cost for that. We do have to say, okay, there is a cost to following Jesus. And when we've counted that cost, are you willing then to lay your life down for your friends, to lay your life down to see the gospel, the outworking of the gospel in the lives of those around you, your loved ones? Because God has chosen us all. He has chosen you. He has got plans for your life, plans to see you prosper and to see the kingdom of God prosper through you. plans that if you choose to follow it will bear much fruit, will bear eternal fruit. Fruit that will last into eternity with God. And so it's like the big question then is, do you want to live this life that Jesus is calling you to? Is that really something that you want to do? And then on top of that, are you willing to make the adjustments in your life to see that happen? Because we can just go through the motions of life and sit in a space of, like Warren mentioned in his message, we receive salvation and then we just park there. And it's great, and it's like we don't want to be a church like that. We want to be a church making a difference in the world. And I think that this church does. So it's not a criticism on us, but it's an encouragement to say, like, in your life there's more for all of us, because I know God has got plans and purposes for each one of us. And are we willing to step into that? Are you willing to be like inconvenienced for the gospel, for God, in your daily life? Because it's one thing to go, okay, now I'm going to start this ministry, I'm going to do this on a Sunday or Wednesday or whatever, I'm going to be involved. But then what about on the Monday, halfway through your day at work? Are we allowing God the space to say, you know, oh, just go speak to that person? Or, you know, and it's like, are you willing to allow God to have that place in your life? And you might say, yes, I am. I'm willing. I'm in. That's what I want to do. Cool. But how do I do this? What am I aiming at? What is the purpose here? And can I actually do that? Like, do I have the ability to live out this life? Well, I'm glad that you asked. The book of Acts is going to give us some great insight and answers to these questions and to our practical walk with Christ. Just to see this outworking in our lives. When I was preparing for this series, I was looking, okay, I want to start at the beginning, and it's basically like the story of the Pentecost story. So it's the Great Commission where Jesus commands them to wait, and then the Pentecost day where the tongues of fire come straight after that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, let me start with that. And then in my prep, I was like, looking, when is Pentecost now this year? And I'm like, oh, can you imagine it? It's today. Yeah. So I'm like, that's amazing. God timing. We'll start the series like it should be on Pentecost Day. So that gave me some good courage and just reminded me that God is perfect in all the details in our life, perfect in our timing. And we should just trust that. So Pentecost, the actual word or the name Pentecost starts with penta, is 50. It means 50. And it's basically 50 days, or it is 50 days from Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. So it's 7 weeks. So it's 7 days of 7 weeks, which is 49. And then obviously in those days, the Sabbath was Saturday. So it's not our Sunday. So it's the 49 days plus the Sunday day. So we hit 50 days, which is today, 50 days since Easter. So that's Penta 50. And obviously seven throughout the Bible, we see seven as a symbol of completion or finishing. We see am I wrong, Anne? Oh, is it? Okay, cool. We'll hear the testimony after. I'm looking forward to it. Seven is completion. So then the disciples at the time, you know, when this actually happened, the biblical time, they were gathering for the Festival of Weeks, which was the celebration then of Moses receiving the law or giving the law. It's God giving the law, which was the Torah. So it was when they had received the first five books of the Bible, that was the law. And so it was the celebration of that, which is quite amazing because now at Pentecost, it's now the celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So we have the receiving of the law in the Festival of Weeks, and now on the same festival, the same day, the receiving of the Holy Spirit after Jesus. So the Pentecost story starts in Acts 1. Luke as the author... writes his account about Jesus and his Great Commission. He ends off, obviously, the book of Luke, and then the book of Acts is basically a continuation of that. So the book of Luke is like Jesus and his story leading up to his death and resurrection, and then from there onwards. He starts his book of Luke then with the end of... he starts the book of Acts with the end of Luke, the Great Commission that Jesus gives us. So I'm going to read Acts 1, verse 1-9. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So this is Jesus' final instruction to his disciples, the Great Commission, the final command. And you see here in verse 2 that Jesus is also being instructed by the Holy Spirit. So we can't think like, you know, it's not that important to have the Holy Spirit with us. It's critically important. Jesus himself was being led and guided by that. And then he gives the instruction for them to obviously wait for the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus obviously knew that the Holy Spirit was going to be critically important for them to achieve all that he had in mind for them and for them to be effective in their ministry. So he tells them, wait to receive this. Patience and obedience is a big part of our walk with Jesus. We have to be trusting in that. And when we do trust this and we do follow God in his timing, then we will see his faithfulness, and this in turn will build trust in our lives with Christ. We will say, okay, he's told me to wait, and then I waited, and then he was faithful. Instead of jumping the gun and being frustrated with God, imagine if the disciples had just gone off and they now all excited and they're like, rah, rah, Jesus raised, he showed himself again, we know he's the living God, let's go and tell everybody. And then they are like powerless in what they're doing. And then they're like, this thing is not real or whatever. It's like, no, Jesus knew what was important for them. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to be present in their lives. So for us, God is faithful. Let us be patient in following him. If God has promised something to you, hang in there. Be patient. He will be faithful to his promises. Sometimes it's difficult because our timing, our expectation is not what God's timing is. It's like, we often hear like God is slow and then act all together at the same time in a hurry. It's like we wait and wait and wait, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything happens all together. And we're like, okay, God was faithful. We just had to be patient and trust in the process. Then he says they were baptized with water, but they now needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, in the Old Testament, we still see the Holy Spirit working, but the Holy Spirit was coming on specific people at specific times for specific tasks. So we see the first account of the Holy Spirit in the Bible came on artisans, like guys who were building the temple, and they were empowered to build the temple. So it wasn't even then for like ministry per se, in the sense of to go and spread the gospel or anything like that. It was just like God had a task. He empowered them with his Spirit. He supported them. He gave them the power to do that. Obviously, then you have the prophets who have this anointing and this power on them. And then we see now the Holy Spirit coming available to each one of us. But then Jesus gives the reason that they will need the Holy Spirit. He says, the reason that you need the Holy Spirit is to give you power and then to equip you to be his witnesses, to be able to spread the gospel effectively, to be able to speak about Jesus, listening in those moments, hearing God, and just allowing God to speak through you. And sometimes it's not even a thing of like, oh, I must listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying? It's like the natural outflowing of the Holy Spirit in you. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, it's like he's going to be speaking to you, he's going to be putting guiding you in your thinking. And that's half of, like, you know, our battle as Christians, is that Satan is trying to tempt us and mess with us in our mind, usually, in our thinking, and leading us down wrong paths. And then God is also guiding us in our thinking. And so as we grow in our walk with Christ, we learn to discern. Is this God? Is this Satan? Is this just my own thinking? And then follow that. And it takes maybe time, and we build trust, and we build trust. And as we step out and follow God, we find, God was faithful. Yeah, God was faithful there. And then we learn to hear the voice of God clearer. But it doesn't mean that we're not hearing him from the day that we are saved. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit that calls us to salvation. So whether you realize it or not, the reason that you're here as Christians is because the Holy Spirit called you to this love relationship with Christ. And so you do hear him. We just maybe not don't realize that we're hearing him. So, and I feel like this is one of the things that Satan trips us up the most, is that he puts fear in us to actually witness. Fear to, like, speak about our faith. Maybe it's a fear of failure, that whatever we're talking about isn't going to work or happen, or a fear of persecution or ridicule or alienation. And it's like, obviously, if this is God's great command, he's calling us, go and spread the gospel, speak about it. And I know there's that saying that's like, preach the gospel, and if you must use words, kind of thing. And I get that. I get the heart of it. It's like living out a faithful life to God. So I'm not slamming it in its entirety. But Jesus does call us to preach the gospel, to spread the word, to tell others about him and his truth. We can see the outworking of Christ in your life, because your life will be different to others. But people need to know about the opportunity of salvation. So yes, we do need to spread that gospel. And if that's our great command, you must know that Satan's going to attack that intensely. So he's going to put those insecurities in you. He's going to put those fears, or try to put those insecurities and fears and that anxiety in you. And you're like, oh, I must go and speak to this. And you feel the Holy Spirit. And then it's like, oh, well, what happens if they don't accept it, or they ridicule me, or whatever? It's like, no. If the Holy Spirit is guiding you, even if it's not like what seems effective to you, we know that it's like just sowing a seed is huge in the kingdom of God. Just to let that seed start growing in somebody's heart, and maybe you're not the one that brings them to salvation or brings the healing or brings the word of change in their life, but maybe the third person who speaks to them about that same thing, they go, maybe there's something to this. And so it's for us, it's just to be faithful and trust that when you are faithful, God does what he needs to do. His work will come to completion as long as you are playing your role and others are playing their roles. So as our community, it's like, let's just trust God in this. Trust God in this process. And we've got to realize that, you know, God reassures us that he's not going to just leave us to do this in our own power. He's sending his Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit is powerful, and he can guide us powerfully. And so God isn't just giving us this task and going, off you go, good luck. He's like, off you go, and here's somebody who's going to be in you, alongside you, like walking this road with you the whole way. And that doesn't mean that we're going to have success as we see success all the time. Like, we might not see conversion straight away, like I said, but we've just got to be faithful, and God calls us to be faithful in our part. He takes care of the results, the outworking of that. We don't have to feel bad or responsible if, you know, things don't work out as we hoped. We just got to trust God to do what God is doing. And whether that's a salvation, or whether that's just help, or whether that's just giving food, we know that when Jesus in Revelation describes, you know, the disciples, or he separates the sheep from the goats, he's like, yeah, but they gave water to those who were thirsty. They gave food to those who needed food. They gave clothes to those who needed clothes. And so it's like, the practical outworking of that is also a loving act, a Christian act. We see that throughout the Bible, generosity is a key part of God's kingdom. And it's like the outworking of that shows the heart of God, the Father heart of God, to like bless and provide. And we can be that part of the community, that part of the gospel to somebody. So yeah, sometimes they will receive it, sometimes they won't. But we are just called to be faithful and trust God. Acts 2, verse 1 to 13, then is when we see the actual Pentecost event. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language?" And then it goes through a couple of the different languages. Both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretes and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." God is faithful to his promise. We see the outworking of that here. We see that the disciples were faithful in staying and praying and spending time as a Christian community. And then God comes through. The tongues of fire are significant. Obviously, a tongue is obviously a symbol of like communication or speech. So they were called to spread the gospel to the end of the earth, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the tongue is obviously like a symbol of speech. And then the fire, we see that on Mount Sinai, when Moses received the Ten Commandments, the mountain was covered in fire. God descended as fire on the mountain. There was billows of smoke, etc., etc. So we see the significance of fire on the receiving of the law, and now with the new receiving of the Holy Spirit, we see the flame of God resting on each one individually. So the flame on the mountain came down as one big flame, God coming as one big flame for Moses as the leader, the overseer. Now God says, "I give you each an individual portion of the Holy Spirit." And so we all have that Holy Spirit. God equips us to do his ministry. And we have to be careful not to like rely on ourselves and you know, put too much pressure on ourselves. This shouldn't be like a heavy kind of thing to go and like figure this out. It's like just being obedient in those moments to the Holy Spirit. He is equipping us. God is doing the work through us and guiding us through this process. We are just to be faithful in following that. And we need to have faith that we have received the Holy Spirit so that we can have faith that we can witness and then to live out practically that love that Warren was describing. It's like if we don't believe that we have the Holy Spirit in the first place, we're going to struggle to trust that we can do any of this other stuff going forward. So we trust that. Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14 describes that when we believe, we are marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So we know that we have the Holy Spirit in us. If we look further down at Acts, in that chapter of Acts 2, verse 38, because then after this, after the crowd ridicules them and says, "Oh, these people are drunk," you can see that obviously, you know, this amazing thing of God happens And yet there's still people that will not accept it, that will not see it for what it is, that will ridicule you. And for us, that can be a really, really tough thing to do. It's like we can do amazing things for God and still pick up ridicule and still pick up persecution. But then Peter carries on, and he then just tells the story of Jesus and what's happened, and basically just gives a gospel account. And it says that, you know, when they started, the believers were a group of about 120 people. At the end of this account, at the end of this day, the believers were 3,000 in one day. So it's like when they received the ridicule, they didn't get all offended and like, nah, okay, fine, we're leaving, or oh, I'm giving up on my ministry. No, it's like then he's going, no, guys, because the heart is not to win people over necessarily. Yes, it is to a degree, but it's to love those people and to see their lostness and to see where they're struggling and just say, I've got an answer. I've got the thing that you need. I love you enough to share this with you. Because it's not about, you know, do I have the right words and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I know that you need Jesus. You need that love. You need that encounter with God. And so I have that. I'm giving that to you. In Acts 2 verse 38, Peter then ends off with this account that he's giving these people that have ridiculed him now. And he says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not a question. It's a definite. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you repent and receive salvation and are baptized. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call. So it wasn't only for the disciples then or the church then. It's for all of us, for all of those far off. Everyone who is called by Christ will receive the Holy Spirit when they repent and are baptized. So if you have not repented and baptized, which I believe that we have, but if you feel you haven't, then do it. Do it. Repent and be baptized. And step into all that God has for you. Others might not understand or even like agree with you, but it's our prerogative to love them like Jesus loved them, to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about what he has for them. And half of that is just the testimony of your life. What has Jesus done in your life? Because often that's how we are going to impact people who we come across, because we're familiar with that. God knows that as well. God knows, hey, you understand the gospel well in this area, or I've gifted you the gospel in this area. So it's like, just what you know, go and tell others about that. We don't have to feel like we need to know the gospel in its entirety and have a theological degree and be like Warren, who's an evangelist, or Tristan, who's got a degree. It's like, no, God calls each one of us in our own capacity, in our big or small lives. It doesn't matter. God calls us just as we are. Let not fear have a hold on us that holds us back from living out the fullness of this. Man, it's an exciting life living with Jesus and seeing that fruit and seeing the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how it impacts those around us for the good, for the kingdom, for eternal good. And then we start seeing that bearing fruit that Jesus speaks about. Like we get to bear that fruit and see that happen and partner with God, the God of the universe. It's ridiculous. We get to partner with God. So I want to pray for us. I want to pray that we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And yes, there is a deposit of the Holy Spirit in each of us, a seal. And yes, there is a like filling of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there's a difference in that. And it's like, I don't know about you, but often in worship I experience that. I think it's different for different people. Some people, when they're spreading the gospel, they just feel the Holy Spirit like on them. Like for me, it's like sweaty. Sometimes it's tears. Sometimes it's ugly, but it's beautiful. And you know, sometimes it's just... Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's wild. But you see the outworking of the gospel. You see like the Holy Spirit coming powerfully on people at different times to do different things. But we always have the Holy Spirit with us. We always have that God with us. So I want to pray that God would fill us with His Spirit. Yes, I know as Christians we've got that. But I just want us to be on fire for God. Lord God Almighty, I pray, Lord, that You'd come now and fill us up with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Stir in us a passion for You, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with a fire that burns hot and bright and loud for You, Lord. In whatever way You call each one of us to live out our faith, to live out this gospel truth, to live out our lives for You, Lord, I pray, Lord, let that come to pass, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd fill us with an excitement to see others saved, to see others free, to see others like helped, and Lord, that You would lead us in just being Your hands and feet, however that looks, whether it's a glass of cold water, or whether it's ministry, or whether it's salvation, or whether it's just being faithful at Your work, or whatever that outworking is, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would guide us in this. Lord God Almighty, I pray that You would remove that fear of failure or rejection. I pray, Lord, that You would, even in the hearing of You, even in the relationship with You, Holy Spirit, that You would remove that fear of not hearing Your voice, Holy Spirit, that stops us from even engaging with You. Lord, I pray that You would just give us a trust in You, a trust in that You are there. You are going to hear us, Lord God Almighty. Lord, give us an unwavering love for everybody that we encounter. Lord, help us to look for those opportunities to love on others, to show them You in whatever way or form that is, Lord. To just be Your light on a hill, shining bright for You, Lord God Almighty. I pray, Lord, that You would come and fill us with Your Spirit now. Fill us with Your joy. I pray, Lord, that we would see the fruit of Your Spirit in our lives. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that we'd stand firm in Your armor, Lord, that we'd be unwavering in who we are as Your children, as Your soldiers, as Your partners, as Your children, as Your beloved church. Lord God Almighty, we thank You that You are a intimate, powerful God. And we pray, Lord, that You would just help us to live out our faith fully and boldly for You, Lord. I pray for Your blessing on this series upcoming. We will look at the book of Acts, look at Your church, and Lord, that You would inspire us to live out our gospel as You want us to. Lord, we thank You that we can meet with You on Sundays, but also on every other day, Lord, that You are with us, in us. That we know that we can be in relationship with You every minute of every day. We thank You that You are only a breath away. We worship You and we thank You, Lord God Almighty. Amen. Maybe we can just take up communion quickly.